Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start first by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. What happens when somebody comes to you and say, I'm a prophet of God? The first thing that crosses my mind is to dial 911. But of course, we don't dial 911 in this situation, but we will ask him for a proof probably. What is your proof that you are the prophet of God? Why should we believe that you are a prophet of God? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supplied all his prophets with miracles. To prove and to demonstrate to the people around them that they are truly a prophet coming from God, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the prophets were given many miracles. For example, Prophet, can you name some of the prophets, some of the miracles of Prophet Isa alayhi salam? Some of the miracles of Prophet Isa? Can you remember? He was born from a mother without a father. He was able to give life to the birds made of clay, breathe into them and give them life. He was able to raise people from death. He was able to heal the sickness. And perhaps this is why people confused him for Allah. And this is perhaps why people now, because of these so many miracles that were given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, they have given him a divine status. Or they have put a mask on his face, on his true face. They put on his face a divine mask to make him to give him a divine status. You know the word mask? Mask? Christ mask. If you take the K away, what does it become? Spelling. Christ mask. Take the K away.
Christmas.
That's right. So subhanAllah, it's just like every Christmas I remember Christ mask. Celebrating the mask of Christ, not Christ himself. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam also had miracles. And all the prophets had miracles. But these miracles, there's something, you know, about these miracles that make them don't work in today's world. What are these things that you can't see this miracle, these miracles? Did anybody here see the stick of Prophet Musa converting into a snake? Did anybody see Prophet Isa giving life to the birds? Nobody sees that. So these miracles, yes, we believe in them because they are mentioned in the Holy Quran, but we have not seen them. So therefore, Allah, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and lasting prophet, Allah provided him with lasting miracle. A miracle that can be examined. A miracle that becomes a compelling evidence against anybody who says that the source of the Quran is not Allah. That Muhammad has fabricated the Quran. And the source of the Quran is Muhammad, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran, just imagine that the Quran is the first publication of Prophet Muhammad. You know, authors, they have to study journalism and then practice authoring one book and then get feedback and then another book and practice writing books 3-4 times before they can produce something good, right? Imagine that this Quran is a product, is the first publication of an illiterate man. He did not read any book before it. He did not author any book before it. So, could it be the source, could be the source of the Quran of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We'll see. One of the things that we see about the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has committed himself to the preservation of the Quran. Because there will be no more prophets. So typically Allah sends prophets because the guidance of the prophet get lost and gets corrupted. And the sources of guidance of the other prophets get lost after a while. Like the Bible get changes. Like all these scriptures get changes. And the guidance of the prophet is twisted and changes and manipulated. So Allah will send another prophet to renew the guidance and to bring back the guidance to the way it was supposed to be. So this in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not send any more prophets, He has to subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the sources of guidance that we have, including the Quran and the Sunnah. Genius people were recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to authenticate the hadith and to track the chains of narration and to interview the witnesses and to study their memory and their personality and their attributes, and it becomes a big, huge science. Remember that this science was done at the time of Dark Ages. at the time of where there was nobody, you know, science and literature wasn't available in the Arabian Peninsula at that time. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways that Allah preserved the Quran, Allah has preserved the language of the Quran. Quran is the only scripture written in a living language. All previous scriptures are written in a language that has died. Nobody's talking. Nobody's talking or using this language again. The Arabic language, you know, it is still spoken by 250 million people today. You go to the United Nations, there's an Arabic translator. It is a perfectly understood language that is understood and spoken by the people today. Living language. Scriptures, all the scriptures are written in dead languages. Languages that are not spoken before. So even if you have the original scriptures, you will not be able to understand anything. And there's nobody to explain it because the language have died long time ago. We are talking, you know, biblical scholars are divided. Whether the Bible was revealed, was originally revealed in Greek or Aramaic. And then they are divided on both languages. So we are talking about a book. We are talking about a book that we don't even know the language for. No, I mean, before you convince me about the authenticity of the book, tell me the original language that this was book that was revealed with, or tell me about the language that this book was originally translated from. But the Quran, everything in the Quran is preserved. The vowels, everything is preserved in this Holy Quran. Now, let's jump to the book of created nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran spoke about the book of created nature, the created universe, the secrets of nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about them to wow us and to impress us about His power and greatness and ability. And while He's talking about these secrets of nature, He mentions scientific secrets that we are going to present in a few minutes. And these scientific secrets were not discovered until the previous century, until the scientific revolution. And let's say for the sake of argument that, you know, Muhammad knew about these secrets somewhere. He got them from the pharaohs or aliens or somebody gave it to him. Why would he put them in the Quran? He was trying to impress who? The immediate customers of Prophet Muhammad, the ones that were around him, were the Bedouin Arabs. Can he impress them with science? Can they relate to science? Can they understand science? Actually, if you look at the ancient books of tafsir, how did the mufassirin, the people who do interpretation of Quran, how did they do tafsir interpretation of these particular verses? You can see that they give their view, and then at the end they say, Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows better. We have no idea, you know. And for example, one of the verses that I'm going to come to, Ibn Kathir, like the verse that says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we have sent down ayah. I've read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir to see what did he write about that, because there is a scientific miracle in this verse. He said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we sent down iron, means, وَخَلَقْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we created iron. But he failed to explain, and nobody else did, why would Allah say, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we sent down iron, and instead of, وَخَلَقْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we created iron. Allah says, I've created this, I've created you, I've created everything. The only two things that Allah said, I've sent down, are the rain and the iron. Okay? The rain sent down, yeah, we understand that. But iron sent down, what do you mean? So, he did not explain that. He just said, and Zalna al-Hadid means Khalaqna al-Hadid. And he stopped. And this is, you go back to the ancient books of tafsir, they had no idea how to explain these things. It was mysterious ayat to them. And they were aware of it. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, whatever verses you read in the Quran and you don't understand, okay, just take it as is. The only benefit you get from it is the reward of recitation. But whatever you can understand, let it inspire you. So you benefit from the reward and the inspiration. So they were aware of these things that they couldn't understand. That only modern science explains today. In the old books, they maybe have twisted the word, like you're saying, created instead of sent it down. Or they have said, Allahu Alam, what does it mean? Or they have tried to explain it using their limited knowledge at the time. So, The question that is comes to us, why do we need to know about this subject before we start? Aren't we Muslims already? Aren't we believers that the source of the Quran is Allah? So why wasting our time? Why? The answer comes from Prophet Ibrahim in Surah Al-Baqarah. Prophet Ibrahim prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, show me how do you give life to the dead. What did Allah say? وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِينِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Allah says to them, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ? Aren't you a believer? He said, بَلَى وَلَكِنْ يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Yes, I am. But for the feeling of اطمئنان to come into my heart. First of all, why would Allah ask him? Doesn't Allah know that he's a believer? But Allah is asking him so that we can learn the answer. If Allah wouldn't ask him, we wouldn't know the answer. It's like interrogating somebody so that somebody else can hear the answers, right? So Allah is asking him. And this is why Allah asks the angels and asks the prophet. Like when Musa had a stick in his hand, he said, what is in your right hand, Musa? He said, it's my stick. Allah knows it's a stick, but he wants him to say it so that we learn the answer and we benefit from the answer. So Allah asked him, aren't you a believer? Allah knows he's a believer, but Allah wants him to answer so that we can hear his answers. So he said, yes, I am a believer, but I am after something else. I am after وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I am after the feeling of اطمئنان to come in my heart. What is that feeling of اطمئنان? In order to imagine the feeling of اطمئنان, let's imagine that you see American right in front of your eyes now. How do you feel? American happening right in front of your eyes. How are you going to feel inside you? Your heart is going to wiggle. Your eyes are going to cry. Tears are going to come down. It is going to shake you when you see a miracle right in front of your eye. You're going to have this sweet, beautiful feeling that, you know, the feeling of seeing a miracle, and you are so close and so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Prophet Ibrahim asked him to see the miracle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, bring the birds. It's in verse 260 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 260. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take four birds, cut them into pieces, keep the heads in your hand, put the pieces in different mountains and keep the heads in your hand, and then call the birds to you. They are going to, the thighs and the legs and the wings and the bodies are going to gather and assemble together. And then the bird is going to fly without a head, and the birds are going to come claim their heads from your hand. And then the birds are going to fly away after claiming their heads from their hand. Subhanallah. Wa'alam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. After you see that, know that Allah is so great and so mighty and so powerful, and He can do anything. So that's why we need to learn it. If Prophet Ibrahim has a need to see a miracle so that his heart can feel comfortable and can feel the feeling of اطمئنان, trust me, we're more needy than Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is why this subject is so useful for the Muslims. First of all, the founding father of this subject, amazingly enough, he is Maurice Bucaille. He was the first one, and this book was the first book that he published, was the first one who brings into the light scientific examination or scientific analysis of the Quran and the Bible. And he wrote negative things about the Bible, and he wrote positive things about the Quran. And he was a French Christian medical doctor and scientist. So he came from a Christian background. And he's the one who is, I consider, the founding father of this science. And his book is available. You can, from Amazon.com, you can buy it for like $9. So it's a very nice book. And you see, what did he say about the Bible and what did he say about the Quran? You really get impressed with what he has to say. The first miracle, the first scientific miracle, all ancient dictionaries and books, without exceptions, when you look at the word mountain, guess what you get? When you look them up in the dictionary, what do you get? You get, the definition is a pile of rock on the surface of the earth. That is the definition in every single ancient dictionary or a book. A pile of a rock, كوما من الصخر على سطح الأرض, a pile of a rock on the surface of the earth. Quran is the only book, the only ancient book without exception, that defined mountains as pegs. you know, that has roots. And the roots, actually modern science tells us that the portion of the mountain under the surface of the earth is 2/3 of the mountain height, and only 1/3 is above the surface of the earth. So it's like your teeth has a root. 2/3 of the teeth is inside, and only 1/3 you can see. Pegs, stabilizers. When you have a tent and you want to erect the tent, you know, you hammer pegs on the earth, on the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described in the Quran that the mountains are pegs. So the shape of the mountain is a peg, not a pile of rock on the surface of the earth. That's the shape. And the role of the mountains is another story. The role of the mountain is to stabilize the earth crust. You go to this scientific reference, and this presentation is available online. And I'm going to put down the website where you can download the presentation. So you can have all this information handy. You can look at these references, and you can look up these pictures. They are there in the presentation. So this book studies how can the mountains stabilize the earth crust. What happens if you put a paper on the face of the water? What happens? It shakes like that, right? When you put a paper on the surface of the water, okay, it shakes like this. Now, the earth crust is like the paper. The melting, boiling lava inside, which is the earth mantle, is liquid, boiling, very, very high temperature. When it goes down, it becomes hot. When things get hot, they become light. So it floats up. When it floats up, it becomes colder. When things get colder, they become heavier. So they go down again. And currents like that are going on all the time. And the earth crust is shaking like this. Unless you put a mountain on it, on the top of the mountain. Only the mountain will stabilize the earth crust. Without mountains, the earth crust will never be stable. Now, and these are additional references that you can go to, you know, to learn about these things and to learn about the theory of tectonic plates, where this comes from. And to learn about the subduction zones. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in 9 different places of the Quran, if it's one place, you say it's a coincidence. If it's 2 places, you say something else. But if it's 9 different ayat in the Quran, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 different ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeatedly saying that the mountains, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا. 9 different places where Allah is describing the shape of the mountains as pigs and the role of the mountains as stabilizers to the earth crust. When you see this, you say Subhanallah. No doubt that the source of the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look what happened here to the earth crust. You know, the subduction zones, they happen when 2 plates meet each other. The earth crust is broken into plates. You can see that the earth crust is broken into plates. When at the boundaries of these plates, like you see faults. And at these faults, you see subduction zones like this. When 2 plates meet together, okay, one goes under the other, like this. And this is called the subduction zone. And because of the movement of the plates relative to one another, the area of the land decreases. So, when you see the American plate and the Pacific plate meeting together, the area of California is constantly decreasing with a very small and noticeable rate, but it is constantly decreasing. Okay? You go read this ayah and this ayah on the Quran. This ayah, 1341, don't they see we gradually reduce the land from its outlying boundaries? أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. And in this ayah 2144, the same exact statement repeated. Don't they see our ability in reducing the land from its outlying borders? 2 different ayats speaking about the land being decreasing from the boundaries, which can be easily, you know, explained by this subduction zone. Go ahead.
This is our own, you know, existing knowledge. Can in the future, when we have more knowledge, can this take place within 20?
Well, possible. But let me tell you something. The facts that we're going to talk about today are facts that can never change. Like, for example, the earth is round. Could they ever discover in the future the earth is not round?
No, but the seal of the ayat itself can be referring to a new fact with no oil right now.
It could possibly, because nobody can limit the explanation of the Quran to whatever boundary. So it could possibly, some other scientific facts could show up in the future that would provide even better understanding to this ayah. But this is what we have so far.
You could have more than one meaning, but you may have discovered one of the meanings. For example, when you see that we are reducing the earth at its ends, you could see that it's poles, because the earth is not exactly a sphere, it's a little bit shorter. Between the poles and the wheel.
But this meaning is more direct than the one you said.
I know, there's maybe multiple meanings, and the Quran is so beautiful about having layers and layers of meaning. And all of them are correct.
Yeah, it could be also because of the melting of ice here. So you have more water here, submerging more land.
See, there is.
So
this is not close enough to the meaning, yeah. Because the melting ice, not close. I mean, this one is the perfect match. It's a perfect. This explanation is a perfect fit to the ayah. These explanations are kind of. You don't want.
The poles is a very good explanation.
See, you want to state the fact in a perfectly understandable Arabic language, so that people don't accuse you that you're twisting the Quran to fit the facts, or twisting the facts to fit Quran. Like in the mountains, it's a perfectly understandable Arabic language that says that mountains in 9 different places. Mountains are to stabilize the earth. And mountains look like pigs. Nobody can come and say you're twisting the ayah. Twisting the ayah what? Perfectly understandable Arabic language that only means one thing. You know what I'm saying? So we try to stay within these limits. Go ahead.
You said that the coastal area in the United States is decreasing?
Yeah, with a very small rate.
But in Western Washington here, the coast of Washington, around Long Beach, and they call it the meander line, where if you own a piece of land right on the coast, you have gained some space in the last 10 years, right in the ocean.
Yeah, we're talking about millions and thousands of years. And we're talking about the edge of the plate. See the edge of the plate? See, this is the edge of the plate where the earth crust is divided into plates. Regardless, where is the water? The water today might be here. Tomorrow might be there. The day after tomorrow, actually in 1 hour, the water could be here, next hour could be there. So, yeah, we're not talking about the boundaries of the water. And
we know about the ebb and tide.
Right.
I'm not talking about ebb and tide. I'm talking about the actual piece of land. You build a house here, if you bought a lot, for example, 20 years ago, now we have an additional space for another lot, right in front of you. And the ocean is still ocean.
Different areas in different directions.
Right. Yeah. And we're talking about millions of years here. We're not talking about 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. These are tectonic movements. Like trillions of years ago, all continents were one plate and they spread out. So we're talking about millions of years. We're talking about this. For every 1 millimeter, it takes about what? 2 decades to get 1 millimeter movement? Something like that?
Few centimeters per year.
It's very small movement. It's not something that you can notice in 20 or 30 years at all. All right. Darkness of the oceans and sea. When you dive down, what happens? You lose the light until it becomes dark to the level that when you stick your hand, what happens? You can't see it. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي من فوقه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها. Or like the darkness of a deep sea which is covered by waves above which are waves above which are clouds, layers of darkness one above another. If he puts out his hand, stretches out his hand, he cannot see it. So this very close meaning gives you the very it's indicative of what happens when you dive down the ocean. This one is really fun. This particular one is really fun. In the 1970s, there was a ship traveling south in the Red Sea into the Indian Ocean. Okay? And the ship was taking samples from the water to study the ingredient of the water and the temperature of the water. And as they were taking samples and samples, do you see this boundary here? Do you see it? Different color. This picture is by the satellite. So you can see the boundary. Once they crossed into the Gulf of Yemen, suddenly the water temperature changed suddenly, and the ingredients of water changed suddenly, and the marine life changed suddenly. They say, wait a minute, something is wrong. It's either our devices are defective or something crazy happened. You cannot get such a sudden change. Just like half a mile ago, we have one temperature, and here we have a different temperature. What is going on? Something is not right. So what they did is they crossed back to the other side. They took samples. They found that their original data was right. So they kept crossing the boundary back and forth. And back and forth, making the distance tighter and tighter and tighter and taking samples. And then they were able to locate this barrier caused by the surface tension. Across the side, you know, across from these two, from this barrier, you take a sample from here and a sample from here, totally two different temperatures, totally two different ingredients of water. And they published their findings right here in this reference. So you can go to this reference and you can read about the scientific ship experiment. In two different locations of the Holy Quran. In the Quran 55:19-20, He has let loose the two seas. مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. He has let loose the two seas covering together with a barrier between them. They do not break through. And in 25:53, no, this is for the rivers and the seas. So cross this one. Go down to here. أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Who made the earth firm to live in? Made rivers in it. Set mountains to stabilize it. Again, set mountains to what? Stabilize it. Which was, we talked about it before. And made a separating barrier between the two bodies of flowing water. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ can be another God with Allah. After this impressive fact, can be another God with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Difficult, breathing gets difficult as you fly up. Why? Why it's difficult when you fly up? It's more difficult to breathe. Because the oxygen goes down, right? And becomes difficult to breathe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 6:125, and those whom God wants to keep astray, He makes their breast closed and constricted. يَجَعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرِجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. As though He is climbing up to the skies. As though He is climbing up to the skies. Oh, this one is also fun. You know, they were studying the human brain. They were putting sensors to see which area of the brain is more active when you think about wicked things. You know, wicked, sick designs? When you're thinking about these evil designs? Okay? They measured the activities of the brain.
Which I'm doing right now.
Which is what? Kick me out of the masjid?
I'm completely leaving.
So they found that the area that most active in the brain is what? The front area. Right here. This is the area most active. And the research is published in this reference. This area here. This area. The forehead. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Alaq 96:15. كَلَّا لَيْنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ نَاصِيَةٍ هَا كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. If he doesn't stop, we will grab him by the forelock. A sinful, lying forelock. A lying and sinful forelock. Lying and sinful. Coming out of this part of the brain. The sex of the baby. It was for a long time, you know, known that, or people believed that, the woman that determines the sex of the baby. It wasn't until modern science, you know, explains that the chromosomes are X or Y. The egg of the female is always X. There's no choice. the male, if the sperm from the male is X, XX becomes a girl. If the sperm is Y, then it becomes XY, which is a boy. وهو الذي خلق الزوجين الذكر وهو الذي جعل الزوجين الذكر والأنثى من نطفة إذا تمنى جعل الزوجين الذكر والأنثى من نطفة إذا تمنى. It is he the one who created both sexes, male or both genders, male and female, from a drop of a sperm which has been ejected. من نطفة إذا تمنى. So, من نطفة إذا تمنى is the one that determines it's a male or a female. Formation of the human body. This is incredible. This is their professor. There was a professor in the and he's a big professor. His name is Professor Moore. He is an author of a book called The Developing Human, and he's a professor in the college in Canada, University of Toronto, Canada. And he was the president of the science and the faculty of blah blah. He's a big shot anyway. And he authored the book called The Developing Human. Very interestingly, and he's a non-Muslim. If you bring the book, you read the introduction. He has a statement over there that says, I have examined the description on the Quran against the findings on modern science about the development of a human baby inside his mother's womb, and I found them unbelievably matching. There's unbelievable, it's a very accurate description of the Quran about this. There are seven different structures that Allah have described. Nutfa, structure. Alaqa, which is leash-like structure. Mudgha, which is chewed-like structure. Idham. He has gone extensively through each of those. I'm going to just highlight two things. Here is the alaqa. This is the human embryo, and this is the alaqa. This is even incredible. Look at this. What is this? A chewed gum. Mudgha. Chewed gum. And what is this? Mudgha. Who speaks Arabic? Mudgha. Chewed-like structure. Mudgha. Mudgha. And this is the human baby. And this is the gum. Subhanallah. At the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no terminology. So the way the Quran described these things, by drawing a similarity to a shape that we can know. Okay? Because there was no terminology. So Allah said, mudgha, which is a chewed-like structure. So this is the word that is used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the match. Beautiful match. And I invite you to go buy this book and see what did the guy say about the matching. About the stages of the development of the human structure, of the human body, and these six structures versus the ones that were discovered by modern science. Three veils of darkness. This one is also incredible. It wasn't until 1970s when they started making tube babies. You know how they make tube babies? How? They bring the sperm and the egg and they mix them in a what? Tube. And then they let it grow a little bit. And then they put it back into the mother's womb and let it grow into a baby, right? It wasn't until 1970 when they discovered that when they mix the egg from the female with the sperm from the male, when they mix it in light, when they do it in light, the fetus is going to deform and die. And it's going to be a complete failure, no success. It doesn't matter how many times, if you do it in the light, it's not going to work. And in order to get it successfully, it has to be done in complete, perfect darkness. It has to be done in complete and perfect darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. The one who created you in the wombs of your mother, one creation after another in three layers of darkness. One layer coming from the wall of the stomach. Another layer coming from the wall of the womb. And the third layer is coming from the wall of the placenta. Three layers of darkness. Expanding universe. They were able to determine the end of energy. And they were able to determine that this is the boundary of the universe. And they were able to measure that this boundary is expanding a huge number, like 500 million cubic year per day or whatever, some crazy number like that. And they published it. If you go in Surah Al-Dhariyat 51:47, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ, that we have built heavens with might and we are steadily expanding it. Subhanallah. Iron, this is the one that I was talking about, that iron was sent down. Look at this. There was a big puzzle, a real big puzzle about the iron. And scientists have spent long time studying this puzzle, trying to find a solution for it. They looked into the earth core. It's 95% of the earth core is iron. And then the percentage of iron decreases down towards the earth crust. It reaches 5% of iron at the earth crust. But that's not the dilemma. The dilemma is, where did this iron come from? You know, the way atoms combine together to produce other atoms, under very, very, very high temperature and energy, atoms combine together. And imagine Nawawi. Atoms or nucleus combine together, nuclei combine together to produce a new nuclei. And this energy is released when you get a nuclear explosion. This huge energy is released and it's very destructive. Opposite to the nuclear explosion is the nuclear combination, when you combine the nuclei. So they were wondering, what kind of energy combined then to form the nuclei to form the iron? They studied the energy produced by the sun. They found that the sun is unable to produce the iron. There's not enough energy or temperature. You need billions of times more energy than the energy produced by the sun, and billions of times more temperature in order to produce iron. And to reinforce that, they study the images coming from the sun. They did analysis, and they found that the sun has no iron. Absolutely no iron. So they said, where did the iron come from? Later on, they found out the answer by analyzing the images coming from faraway stars. They found that the iron was produced far billions of years away, light years away from the earth, in stars that are very far. And these stars, the size of these stars are millions of times bigger than the sun. And the heat and the energy produced by these stars are millions, millions of times more than the sun. And the iron was made there. And then somebody went into these planets and gathered a big, huge ball of iron, and he put it in a gun, and then he aimed at the earth. Just imagine, imagine the earth from 4 million years away. The earth would be what? Just one dot in space, right? 4 million years away, and then 4 million light years away, and then you aim at the earth, and then you psh, and the ball of iron is going to go and penetrate the earth and infiltrate the earth and spread all over the earth. Now, subhanallah, in every single thing Allah speaks about in the Quran, He says, I have created this, I have created that. Only in iron and rain, He has said, and we have sent down iron and we have sent down rain. Rain we understand, but iron. And this is Ibn Kathir. Go read Ibn Kathir. It says, أنزلنا, we send down, بمعنى خلقنا, means we created. Well, that's the best he knew. How could he know this fact? 57:25. وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس. Not وخلقنا الحديد. وأنزلنا الحديد. We sent down iron, just like the rain. We sent it down. You know, in the, haven't you wondered when you read the Quran why Allah is always speaking in Surah Yusuf about Yusuf and the king, and the king and the Yusuf? But when it comes to Musa, Allah is saying what? Musa and the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh and Musa. Wait a minute. Yusuf and Musa, both of them, they were where? In Egypt. How come in the story of Yusuf it's the king, and how come in the story of Musa it's the Pharaoh? That's right. The Bible does not make that distinction. If you read the Bible, it says Yusuf and the Pharaoh and Musa and the Pharaoh. You go read the Quran, king and Yusuf, Pharaoh and Musa. the historians, before even we talk about this subject, without us bringing this ayah into the attention of anybody, before, when we have no clue why would Allah say Yusuf and the king and Musa and the Pharaoh, some non-Muslim historians do a research and publish publications saying that at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, the Hyksos are the ones who are ruling Egypt, and the title of the head of the state was a king. By the time Yusuf died and Musa came, the Pharaohs came back and invaded Egypt, kicked out the Hyksos and took over the power, and the title of the head of the state was the Pharaoh, Al-Fir'aun. And this is why, see how accurate? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Don't they examine and inspect the Qur'an? If it has been from other than Allah, they would have found a lot of mistakes. The man that fabricated this Qur'an, that was his first publication ever. The man that they say that they have fabricated this Qur'an, how could he bring this from? And if he knew about these facts, who were trying to impress who? The Bedouin Arabs would be able to understand this? How could he predict that? I can understand that if I'm going to fabricate something, I'll fabricate something for my customers, the Bedouin Arabs. So instead of calling Surah Al-Baqarah the cow, I will call it the camel. Right? Would make more sense. Because the camel is more relevant to the Bedouin life than the Baqarah. I will fabricate to cater to my customers. But the customers of the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian Peninsula and outside of the Arabian Peninsula don't understand science. And they cannot relate to science. Science was nothing at that time. How could he predict that 1400 years there will be a scientific revolution and scientific discovery and put this text on the Quran if he knew about it before? Positions of the star. Do you think that, look, let's say this is a star up here. Let's say this lamp is a star. When you look at the stars up in the skies, Are you seeing the actual star? You're seeing the position of the star. Like if the star is 20 million years, light years away from us. Then you're seeing the position of the star when? 20 million years ago. This star might have exploded already, or expired, or something happened to it, or moved far away. But the light, by the time the light comes from the star to your eye, it takes 20 million years. This is what you see. So, we are not seeing stars, we're seeing positions of stars. Like when you look at the sun is 8.75 minutes away from us, light minutes. So you're not seeing the actual sun. You're seeing the sun, the position of the sun, 8.75 minutes ago. Like almost 9 minutes ago. So, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. I swear by the positions of the star. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. It's such a magnificent creation, if you know, if you really understand, if you really can comprehend what a magnificent creation is, the position and the distance of these stars. Yeah, that's an easy one. Sun has its own light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time He speaks about the sun, He says what? Surajan wa hajan. Speaks about the sun as a lamp. A light-giving object, as a lamp, as a light. When He speaks about the qamar, He says, wa qamaran munira. A light, a moon that has light. Munira. But the sun is sirajan wa haja, light. You know, a shining light. So it means, which is consistent with the fact that the sun has its own light, but the moon is just reflecting the light from the sun. In these three locations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sun as a lamp and the moon as a lightened object. An object that's being lightened by a source of light. For further research, you can go here. And I will conclude by a nice story that came to my attention after this presentation. There was, you know, NASA? NASA, they were interviewing NASA, a representative from NASA. And the topic was, how come you spend $16 billion putting a man on the moon when people are starving? When kids are starving and dying for 50 cents medication, people are losing their life. And you, how can you justify spending $16 billion just to put a man on the moon? So the representative of NASA was defending NASA. And he was trying to justify this spending. And he was saying, we have discovered this, we have discovered that, we have found this, we have found that. And, you know, listing all the findings that they have found. And one of them caught the attention of the brother who was listening to the television show. He said, and we have discovered that the moon split into two halves. They said, how? He said, we have found a fault cutting the moon into two halves when we took samples of the sides, the material on the both sides of the fault, we found mismatching. So it means that the moon has split and then rejoined again. And this fault is cutting the moon, the entire mass of the moon. So the brother who was watching the program, he says, Allahu Akbar, United States spent $16 billion to prove that the Quran is true. Read Surah Al-Qamar, the moon. What does it say? اَقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. Why was this ayah revealed? The kuffar went to Prophet Muhammad and they told him, give us compelling evidence so that we can believe you. Give us something compelling to convince us that you're saying the truth. So he felt, Prophet Muhammad felt that if he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he might give him something. So he said, what do you guys want? He said, شُقَّ لَنَا الْقَمَرُ. Split the moon for us. And then he said, if I do that, and I pray to Allah, would you believe? They said, yes, we will. So he said, Ya Allah, split the moon for them. The narrator of the hadith, he says, I swear by Allah that I saw half of the moon on the top of this mountain, and he named it, I don't remember the name, and the other half on the top of the Y mountain, and he named the other mountain. They look like this and say, you are a witch. You did black magic to our eyes. And they walked away from him. And when they walked away from him, they started a discussion among themselves. They say, how could Muhammad do that? If he's a witch and did black magic to our eyes, maybe because we were around him. Let's go ask the people that were traveling. So they met a caravan traveling in the desert, and they told them, 5 days ago, when the moon was full, did you guys see the moon splitting into two halves? They said, yes. And one half was on this side and one half was on the other side. They say, Muhammad is a big witch. He was able to. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, اَقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلُّ آيَاتٍ يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَقِرٌ وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. That every...
Do you have a reference for that?
The NASA.
Right.
Yes.
Can you give me a website or something?
Inshallah. I have your email. Emma Farawila?
No.
What is it? Did you change it?
We have done the consent.
Oh, okay. Inshallah. Inshallah. Inshallah.
So,
alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the message here is that the non-Muslims are the ones who are spending the money. The non-Muslims are the ones who are finding these scientific facts. And then later on, Muslims are the ones who are relating these facts to statements and expression mentioned in the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And one last thing before I end. If you read the book of Genesis in the Bible, and you start reading the chapter 1, verse 1, you can say that it was only God, and then God made the day, and then God created the day, and then God created the night, and then God, do you remember that, Brother George, if you ever read the chapter of Genesis, book of Genesis? And then God created the day, and then God created the night, and while it was day number one, and then day number two, and then they were talking about day is going by, and while days are going by, God created the sun and the earth. Okay? Do you see any scientific conflict here?
Yes.
What is it?
Night and day. You have to have the sun to have a night and day.
Yeah? How could you have a night and day before having the sun and the earth? Yes, and it's in the book of Genesis. The first book, one verse 1, book 1, chapter 1, as you read. Before you reach verse number 10, you immediately point out that scientific mistake. And this is what Maurice Bucaille has referenced in his book about the discrepancies in the Bible that do not match with the scientific discoveries of modern science. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have any questions?
Yeah. It appears to me that we need scientific knowledge to understand the Quran. That the condition, or it is just by accident, science has been successful in non-Muslim world and they finally found something and we are now taking it from them and go and understand the Quran. I'm saying understanding of Quran, is it preconditioned to understand the science?
Depends what portion. The Quran has, the contents of the Quran are several. For example, the rules of do's and don'ts, the halal and the haram.
The portion we are talking here.
Yes.
Don't distract okay. from the portion you are talking.
Yeah, this portion definitely you need science. But the Quran is a miracle at every time. So the people before us at the time of Prophet Muhammad, the language art of the Quran is impressive, it's compelling. Allah has challenged them and they could not rise up to the level of the challenge. At their time, Allah said, I challenge you to bring a surah like the Quran. A surah. You know why a surah is called a surah? It's coming, a surah, a sur means a wall. So a surah means a piece surrounded by boundaries, which is it means a segment or a piece of the Quran. So Allah said, one piece, one surah, bring it. They couldn't. First Allah started 10 surahs, they couldn't. One surah, they couldn't. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, He repeated the challenge, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ. If you are saying that Muhammad fabricated this Quran, why don't you fabricate one surah like it? Why don't you go ahead and fabricate one surah? And وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And gather all your brains and gather all your brains in one place. Get all your brains to work together in one powerful brain talented unit and come up with a surah like it. And they could not rise up to the level of the challenge. And some of them tried to meet and tried to fabricate pieces like the Quran. And at the end, they started ridiculing each other. Stay quiet. That doesn't sound like Quran. Oh, everybody will know that this is fabricated. Oh, no. This is no way close. And then at the end, they said Muhammad is a witch. And this is how they justified that the lack of ability to bring these pieces of the Quran. So to answer your question, this portion of the Quran needs science. But in the old days, they didn't need science. Because they have the linguistic miracles. In today's time, we need science to understand this portion of the Quran.
Probably we need more advanced science to understand the rest of it.
To understand?
A lot more in the Quran. That problem is there and we don't understand.
Yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two books. The book of the readable book, which is Quran, which is called Kitabullah al-Maqru', which is the Holy Quran. And there is Kitabullah al-Manzur, the created universe, the book of created universe. The universe is a book created and made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is readable only by the believers. Non-believers don't read the Quran. But the universe, the ayat, the universe, is readable by everybody.
The book, the written book that is published.
Yes, I'm coming to that link. In this Quran, Allah points to, in the ayat of the Quran, Allah points to the ayat of the universe. You know? وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُقِنِينَ. There are ayat in the earth. Okay? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And in your body. So, in the same time, while Allah is pointing to those ayat, Allah is mentioning scientific secrets about these ayat. So if we go into these ayat that points to the book of created universe and keep examining them in the light of the science that comes out, we can discover, just like you said, we can discover more and more. if we keep track of these ayahs.
What really sticks in my mind about this spirit of the womb? You said that somebody from NASA discovered that there's a crack in the, or different combination of stuff on two sides of the moon. Are we saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened it up and did not put it together right? Or split it, or turned it around, or something?
When earthquakes happen and the earth cracks, when the earth closes again, it does not match. You know, it's nature.
Yeah, but that was a miracle made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove to some neighbors of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of his people.
It, according to the science, the research from NASA, no. It wasn't brought back together to, in a matching way. Perhaps intentionally by Allah to leave an evidence. So that NASA comes 1400 years later and finds out that this happened. But if Allah will bring the moon back together in a perfect, flawless way, then NASA will not discover that. And people will point out this verse in the Quran and say, this verse does not make sense because we did not find anything in the moon that proves that the moon has split. So perhaps Allah intentionally twisted it to leave an evidence for them to be discovered later.
Allah does not need our help to prove it. He can prove himself very well.
No, Allah wants to compose a compelling evidence against the ones who rejected the Quran.
This is the first time I hear about it. When was this happening? In which trip of the moon, for example?
Again?
When did this happen that NASA did find this?
And the trip.
One of the trips to the moon, right? It has to be.
According to what I heard from the person who listened to the program, he said that they have discovered that from the samples they took on the moon during the first trip that they did in the 69. Maybe they reinforced that by follow-up research when they sent more things and satellites and things like that.
I think I somehow understand what brother is asking. Even if there is this line over there on the moon, that is not a proof that it was split.
It was
split in the time of Prophet
sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. It is no proof.
The Quran is
the Quran. What you are reciting the ayah is really to linking that splitting of the moon with that ayah is incorrect.
Possible.
That is time of when the sa'ah comes. Not now, 1400 years ago, this event had happened, and not known to the scientific world.
You're talking in the past tense. Iqtarabat is a past tense. Wanshaqqa is a past tense. So Allah is talking about the past tense that happened. And it's according to the narrations of the hadith about this ayah in the book of Ibn Kathir. If you go, it quotes the hadith. It quotes when the non-believers challenged the Prophet, and when the Prophet prayed to Allah, and when the moon was split. So
you're drifting away from.
But I get your point.
To be really interpreted with that weak tafsir.
It's a valid argument.
You just said even the tafsir Ibn Kathir is full of mistakes.
No, it's not mistakes. It's that
full of false understanding. Let me put it.
Right.
Weak understanding, false understanding. No, now you're using that tafsir to even understand the Quranic ayah.
No, I'm using the tafsir to quote the hadith that came with the ayah, which is the historical event. But your point is valid. Your point is true that I might be well wrong, and this ayah does not relate to this discovery that NASA have
Absolutely.
Discovered.
That's the point I'm making.
Sure. There is no way I can argue that this and this are 100% linked. However, there are so many indications that this and this are linked. Now, this fact, let's put this fact aside. If we go back to the facts, to the other facts that we have listed, including the separating barriers between the two oceans, that one, no way you can...
No question.
No question. If you go back to the mountains,
no, absolutely
not. That one... No question.
No question.
So,
absolutely.
That's what I like to focus on. These ones are perfectly understandable Arabic language that nobody can dispute. But you can dispute the say that the verse that says "Inshaq al-Qamar" does not correlate with the discovery of NASA.
That kind of,
sure. And I wouldn't be able to prove otherwise. You know, you won't be able to prove.
We are talking about scientific evidence and the very solid proof.
Which is
and
this
kind. Solid, this is the solid proof we have discovered and we have established and we are connecting the dots. But there is no solid proof that an event of a magnitude of the moon splitting into two halves and happening that event in Arabia, there is no solid proof of that event at all. This is really conjecture and some people, maybe illusion, I don't know, but Allah, wallahu alam, that's actually, I don't know. But relating to this Quranic ayah makes no sense really.
You made a perfect point. Go ahead.
But you know, regardless of what NASA said, you know, like say they never went to the moon, and we read the Quran, so we believe that the moon split 100%. I think we should.
We do. On what basis?
Right.
So on the basis of the Quranic statement and the Hadith that supports it.
That it's split.
Inshaqqa is a perfectly understandable Arabic language.
It's Inshaqqa.
Yeah, Inshaqqa.
Would that mean to all those things have happened?
No, Allah says either in the future. Either in the future.
Those are the, future and
yeah,
the ayah.
But Inshaqqa is the best
tense. When the sa'ah comes, and that sa'ah is a qiyamah. When that time comes, which is not known, when that will come. Yes, moon will split, sun will split, the earth will split, everything.
You know that the Prophet...
Allah will give you more than Allah will give you not get any knowledge, very small fraction of knowledge. Okay? And some of the ayat in the Quran we did not know about.
Absolutely.
So even if you can say that, we can prove this by the Quran. We cannot go to the Quran. No, no, no. We drag what the Quran said to the side.